We are doing the Navi Yechezkel, and we are holding by what they call the third chapter, the 10th Pasuk. Hashem had warned the Navi that the people will not listen to him. The people are brazen, they have a hard heart. And Hashem says, and so I will strengthen your face opposite them. I will strengthen your forehead, which is an allusion to one's brazenness, opposite their brazenness. And just as the shamir worm pierces the stone, so to you will pierce them. Don't fear them. They are rebellious. And so we continue, Pasuk Yud. Vayomer elai. And he said to me, if we look back, we had seen again, Vayomer elai, Vayomer elai, Vayomer elai. He says to me, we saw earlier that the angel had come to speak to him, and the spirit keeps telling him, now we continue, Vayomer elai. So he, it would seem it's the angel, the spirit of Hashem said to me, Ben Adam, son of man, et kol devarai asher adaber eilecha, kach bilvavecha, uv oznecha shema. Accept in your heart, I want you to register what I'm telling you, and your ears should listen. So retain what I'm telling you now. If you listen closely, you will understand, you will retain it. V'lech bo el ha-gola el b'nei amecha. Go to the people who are already exiled, the people of your nation. V'dibarta aleihem ve'amarta aleihem. You'll say unto them, you'll tell them, Ko amar Adonai Elohim. This is what Hashem told me to tell you. Im yishme'u ve'im yechdalu. You tell them, whether they listen or they cease to listen, you say it over. So, we saw the prophecy last time. We saw the prophecy about the Megillah, the scroll that he was to consume. And now he's being told, go out, we will see to the river of Kivar. And he's going to tell them again and again, he's going to rebuke them in the name of Hashem. And either they'll listen or they won't. Vatisaeni ruach vaishma acharai kol rash gadol. And then the wind, the spirit, lifted me from where I was standing, and I heard from behind me a loud noise. The angels were declaring, Baruch kevod Adonai mimekomo. Hashem, his honor is blessed from wherever he is. And so they're telling him, don't think that just because Hashem leaves the Holy of Holies and the temple, so Hashem is not blessed. No, Hashem is blessed wherever he is. Even if Hashem is not revealing himself in the Beit HaMikdash, he is still blessed from them. Baruch kevod Hashem mimekomo, from his place in the Holy of Holies. But the people of Israel, they're the ones that are lacking when Hashem's revelation is no longer present in the Beit HaMikdash. So this interpretation understands that Mekomo is the Holy of Holies. Hashem is blessed, Mi Mekomo, even if he is exiled from his place. He's no longer revealing himself in the Holy of Holies. That's the way the Metzuda explains. If we look at the Targum says, Me'atar Beit Shechinte, from his place, that's where he's blessed from. Whatever that means. The Mari Krop, which was a disciple of Rashi, he says, Vatisa'eni Ruach, he was lifted by the Spirit, and he's going to be taken out into exile. To tell the Jews the prophecy. And then as he's leaving, he hears from behind him, he hears Baruch Kevod Hashem Mimkomo. That's how he hears the angel's blessing. And the Ma'ari Kras says a pshat, which has much support in a different midrash. And he says, Mimikomo means in whatever place Hashem is, that even the angels don't know where Hashem is. They're standing there, they're praising, they know they're in Hashem's presence to some degree, but they don't understand where He is. They don't know. What does that mean, Hashem is somewhere? They don't understand it either. You ask an angel, where is Hashem? He doesn't know to answer that question either. And that's why they say, Mimikomo, from His place, wherever that may be. That's the point. Mimikomo, Hashem should be blessed wherever He is, because we can't identify a specific place. That's where Hashem is, which is a great philosophical concept. V'kol kanfei hachayot. And then I heard, the Navi hears the sound of the angels called chayot, their wings, mashikot isha el achota, v'kol ofanim leumatam. So then he hears the wings of these angels flapping and touching one another as though they were clapping. And that sound of the flapping of the wings is as though Hashem's leaving. It's as though, remember, these angels represent the heavenly chariot. And so it's as though the chariot's flying off. Hashem is no longer giving His revelation at that time. And then he hears the other angels which go with them, like the wheels of the chariot, the ofanim, literally means the wheels. I heard them moving, as though the chariot is moving. V'kol rash gadol. And all of this was a tremendous noise. So, the Navi is describing, on the one hand, we don't know what he's talking about. On the other hand, the simple reading is, you have a chariot, you have angels that are like animals that have wings, and then you have angels that are like wheels. Now, obviously, that's not to be taken that way, but that's the simple reading of the text. Now he's coming back. Remember, he was uplifted with this wind, with the spirit, and he's going to be taken. And I went embittered, as I was worried, filled with anger and worried. I was being sent on this difficult mission. V'yad Adonai alai chazaka. But the prophecy propelled me. It's Hashem is forcibly sending me out to speak to the people in exile. He didn't want to go. V'avoy la'golah. So I went out into exile. El Tel Aviv, to the people who were in exile in this hilltop, in this elevated place called Aviv, the spring, the summer. Hayoshavim el nar kevar va'eshev. They were by this river, the river called Kevar, and I sat with them. They sat there, I sat with them. Hey, my Yoshavim sham. Vayishev sham shivat yamim mashmim bitocham. And I was there in their midst for 7 days, silent as though I was stunned. I was there as though in deep thought for 7 days. I didn't say a word. Enveloped in fear, enveloped in anger, trepidation, worry, silenced. So I land among these people, and I don't say a word for 7 days. I'm in their midst. Vayhi mikzei shivat yamim. So 7 days are up. He's out in exile. Vayhi dvar Adonai elai lemor. Hashem's word came upon me, saying the following. So he's about to have a prophetic vision out in exile. That's the big discussion. How does Yechezkel out in Nahar Kevar have a prophetic vision? Okay. Ben Adam tzofen et aticha leveit Yisrael. Hashem tells him, why are you standing here quiet? Did I send you as a seer, an outlook? So an outlook's responsibility is to look out, see when danger is coming, and warn the people. So that's your job. The prophet is sometimes called a tzofeh. The outlook. He's supposed to look out and see, see if danger is coming. So Hashem says, I've given you that responsibility. Vishamata mipi davar. So when you hear me tell you a warning about danger that's coming, vizalta ota mimeni, you will warn them as my emissary. You will tell them to do tshuva. You're my messenger. Beomri larasha mot tamut. When I tell the wicked, when I say about the wicked, he's going to die. Velo hizalto. And then you choose to be silent. If you don't warn him, velo dibarta, and you don't speak up. Lazir rasha, to warn the wicked. Midalko harsha lechayoto. Because if you warn him, you're giving him life. When I give you prophecy that he's going to die, the purpose of that prophecy is so that you warn him. That's a phenomenal insight. That leads us back to Isaiah, where Yeshaya is told that the king is going to die, Chizkiyo, and Yeshaya assumes, I'm sent to tell him he's going to die, period. Chizkiyo says, obviously I have to do tshuva here. In Yechezkel, we see that concept outright. Hashem says, if I sent you to a person to tell you he's going to die, so then if you're silent, you're not warning him that his wicked ways are leading him to death. You could give him life. Hu rasha ba'avono yamut. He, the wicked, will die, and he will pay for his own sins, but vedamo miyadcha avakesh. I will demand his blood from you, because you will also be punished over his death, because had you warned him, maybe he would have done tshuva. And so the Navi is now establishing an important point, which he will elaborate on later, and that is the responsibility we have for one another. And even if the person's wicked, we still have a responsibility to try and find a way to bring them back. We will see Be'ezrat Hashem, in what they call the fifth chapter, the Navi will discuss all the people who will die, who will be punished, because they did not bring their fellow man back, because they could have tried to influence their fellow man, and they didn't even try. Yes?
I'm asking a naive question, but it's... I remember you mentioned once that they had to learn, they eventually even learned all kinds of magics, and you know, they went through this, I mean, they were very learned men in all sorts of areas of the Nistal, right? And then, I mean, they were tzaddikim, they studied Torah. So, my question is, we see in different Nevi'im that they kind of refrained, they didn't want to go out there and talk to the people, right? Was it because they feared the people's reaction, or they didn't want to, they think they were not fit enough to fulfill Hashem's will? Like, why this happens over and over with different Nevi'im, not Nevi'im, that they... It's just going to fall in deaf ears, because we see also that repeats. So if they studied, if they went through this whole process, and you know, they get the nevuah, what are they fearing? That the people will not hear? Or are they fearing that they will not fulfill Hashem's will as they would like to? Or a combination of both and other elements?
In different circumstances, we have different reasons why the Navi didn't want to speak. In Jeremiah says, I'm young, I haven't done them any good. If I haven't afforded any benefit to the people, then by what right do I rebuke them? In the prophet Yonah, in Jonah, he doesn't want to rebuke them because they won't listen. And then it will be held against them. We find Aaron didn't want to rebuke the people because he knew they'd kill him. And then that would be a transgression on their behalf. So in different circumstances, we find different reasons that the prophet didn't want to rebuke them. Over here, I don't see among the commentaries that they point to what was the reason he didn't want to rebuke them. I don't know.
In no way that they didn't want to be not in
the name. The Marie Kra says he didn't want to tell them they're all going to be punished. He was sitting there thinking and silent, and Hashem said, I sent you to warn them. And if you don't warn them, you're responsible for the punishment. And this leads into what we will see Be'ezat Hashem later on, where people are held accountable. If there's room to think the person will repent, you gotta try. I was on a bus, and we could barely move in Me'a Shearim, Geula. And I said to the driver, you know, it takes talent to drive here. People are walking in front of you every second. And he said to me, yeah, the best time to drive here is on Shabbos. So I laughed. I figured he was joking. And the guy next to me was smarter than me. He said, we don't drive on Shabbos. He said, you don't. And the guy said, no, Jews don't drive on Shabbos. And he's right. Meaning, by my laughing, the driver might have been more comfortable. By his comment, the driver was forced to think, wait a second, Shabbos is not only for religious Jews. So when I heard the guy next to me comment, so then the driver turns to me and says, no, I might get hit by a rock if I go here. Or he didn't say a rock. He said, people might yell at me, Shabbos, so I wouldn't drive here because I want to respect them. So I took the cue from the guy standing next to me and I corrected myself. Instead of just smiling, I said to him, look, the whole world adheres to a seven-day week. So the whole world testifies that Hashem created the world and rested on the seventh day. And we have a special job in that when we rest on Shabbos. Meaning, sometimes we shy away from saying something. So the guy makes a crack at Shabbos and I don't want to say anything. So fine, I just smile and move on. But maybe I shouldn't just smile and move on. I didn't bring up Shabbos to him. He brought up Shabbos to me. I didn't come and tell him, hey, you should keep Shabbos. I just mentioned, you know, the truth is the guy standing next to me mentioned to him, you know, we don't drive on Shabbos. And then he said, oh, Jews don't drive on Shabbos. And, the Navi is told you can't step away from it. V'atah ki hisa'alta rasha'ah. But if you have warned a wicked person, v'lo sha'av merisho'ho, and then he doesn't repent, he has responsibility for his ways, he will die maybe because of what he's done wrong, and you at least have spared yourself. And sometimes you have someone righteous, and then they turn from their righteousness and they do something wrong. Sometimes a person can be righteous and then they turn and they say, it's okay, I can do things that are wrong, Hashem will forgive me because I'm such a righteous person, even though I'm going to do something wrong. And Hashem says, no, I will give him a stumbling block, lifanav hu yamut, and I will cause him to die. I will punish him. Kilo izalto bechatato yamut. And you should know, as a Navi, you have a responsibility to warn him. And you have to help him get it right. Viloti zacharna tzidkotav asher asah vidamo miyadcha avakesh. Hashem says sometimes a person can really mess up to the point where all his righteousness is forgotten. And Hashem says, I'm going to hold you accountable, Yechezkel, because you could stop him. You should talk to him. So the Talmud asks, how could that be? A person does something righteous, how can it get erased? And the Talmud answers that if a person regrets mitzvot, which they did, so Hashem says, oh, you regret you did it? Okay, I won't count it. It's the reverse of tshuva, yeah. It's interesting that we have an option to do that. You'd think you did something. So we discussed in Rav Elchanan Wasserman's letters that there are two aspects to every mitzvah. There's what the mitzvah accomplished, and then there's that higher level of the fact that it's a mitzvah. Hashem told you and you did it. So on the level of Hashem told you and you did it, if you regretted it, you sort of undid that. But on the level of what you accomplished, you fed the poor and you kept them alive. You took an orphan and you gave him clothing and now he has clothing. That's not undone just because you regret that you did it. That's how Rav Chanan Wasserman said, we have to understand this. Ve'ata, but you, kizhalto tzadik, but when you warned the righteous, they shouldn't sin. Levilticha'to tzadik, ve'hu lo chata, and then maybe because you warned him, he listened to you, and he did not transgress. Chayo yichyeh ki nizar. And that will help him live, because now he'll be careful not to transgress. Ve'ata et nafshecha hitzalta. And you saved yourself, because had you not warned him, Hashem says, I would have held you accountable. Hashem says to Yechezkel. So what are you doing sitting there quiet, Hashem says to him? I sent you here to talk. I sent you here with a warning. You got to tell the people. There's danger lurking, and it's up to them to do tshuva. Now, Hashem is going to take him out. Hashem's going to take him out to the valley. Yes? Okay. Should we continue? We'll move on to something else. You guys want to do a little bit more? Yes? Okay. Okay. Yes, yeah, come.
Can you regret the person who did tshuva for regretting mitzvah?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Don't know. When you find out, tell me.
That. And also, if there's just that, like, if you're a newborn person and the person doesn't eat it, as a shalom, like, in a way, are you. The person doesn't want to be responsible for the greater person to further harm or grief either.
Right. So we discussed this in the Ein Yaakov class. Were you there? We went at length. We discussed that today we don't know how to rebuke, and that even today there are unique instances where you can actually ensure that the person knows you love them and that you're doing it out of goodwill. There are instances where you could do it right. Vatehi alai sham yad Adonai, and so Hashem's hand was upon me. Vayomer elai, Hashem said to me, says Yechezkel, go out to the valley, v'sham adaber otach, and over there I will talk to you. So Hashem sends him out to the valley. That's the valley. The Radak over here explains. He was in Tel Aviv, and he's going to be summoned out to the valley because the valley was more pure than Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is in Chutz La'aretz, remember. In Tel Aviv, there were a lot of people, and Hashem is going to teach him out in the valley the idea of Hashgacha, the idea that Hashem is running the world, and it's in that valley that Babylon started their civilization. And so Hashem shows him how he's watching over creation. And over there in that valley, he's watching how the location where they started building the Tower of Babel, and how Hashem intervened and said, I'm not going to let this happen. So we come back. So I went out to the valley. V'hinei sham kevod Adonai omed, kakavod asher ra'iti al nehar kevar. I saw Hashem's honor the same way I saw it earlier by Nehar Kevar, which the Radak learns to mean that whole description we saw of Maaseh Merkava, the heavenly chariot, copy-paste over here. That's what it means. I saw the same thing I saw there. Va'epol al panai. And I fell on my face. So he shows up, and Hashem is there. And our sages say, this teaches us Hashem's modesty. Ordinarily, the student waits for the teacher. He should have stood there, and then Hashem appears. No, he comes to the valley, and Hashem's already there. Hashem is showing us Hashem's modesty. He's willing to wait for us.
V'tavovi ruach v'tamideini al raglai.
So I fell on my face, and Hashem aroused me, sent the spirit within me. It stood me on my feet. Now I had strength. Vaydaberoti vayomer elai. So he said to me, Boi sager betoch beitecha. Come, lock yourself in your house. So beforehand, Hashem told me you have to go out and talk to people. Now Hashem says, go home, lock yourself at home. V'ata ben adam, hinei natenu alecha avotim v'asarucha bahem. He says, you will be imprisoned at home as though people tied you up, as though you have been bound into the house. V'lo teitze b'tocham, don't go amongst the people who have been exiled. Your tongue will stick to your cheek. It's as though you won't talk now. It'll be as though you're mute. You won't go out and rebuke them. Because they're so rebellious. And they're so rebellious against you as you were concerned not to rebuke them. Now I'm telling you, don't rebuke them. But I will talk to you. And then you will open your mouth and you will speak to them. And you will tell them in my name that you've been sent to help them straighten out their lives. Hashomea yishma v'achadel yechdal ki Beit Meri Heima. Some will listen, and some will not, because I know that they are so rebellious. And so, don't fight them. Right now, take a period of being silent at home. So initially, when Yechezkel came to the people in exile, he was silent. He spent 7 days in silence. And Hashem says, what are you doing? Your job is to warn them. Then Hashem says, okay, now go home and sit in silence, because they are rebellious. But when I'm going to send you to talk, you have to talk. Ve'ata v'nadam kach lecha levina. Hashem tells him, I want you to take a brick. V'natata ota lefanecha. And you'll place the brick before you. V'chakota aleha ir et Yerushalayim. You will engrave Jerusalem on the brick. You will engrave a picture of Jerusalem. V'natata aleha matzor, and you will draw around Jerusalem a picture of a siege. You will draw Jerusalem placed in siege. Uvanita aleha dayek, and you will draw how people built towers next to it. In ancient times, when you wanted to capture a walled city, so you'd build towers next to the city, and from those towers you could shoot into the city, over the walls, and ultimately you could even bring people over from the tower into the city. So that's a dayek. V'shafachta aleha solila. The next thing they would do is bring a lot of dirt and just pile up mounds of dirt next to the wall so that they'd raise the ground up the wall, and then they could just walk up the wall, walk up to the wall. So that's a solila. V'natata aleha machanot, and you will draw as though there are camps around the city of Jerusalem. V'sim aleha charim saviv, and you will draw around the city charim. So charim could be generals who are in charge of the people. Charim could mean villages, and charim could mean battering rams. Three different definitions of what the word charim means. So, different interpretations.
Generals?
It could mean generals. It could mean villages, that small villages that the soldiers make for them to live in while there's laying siege on a city. And it could mean battering rams. Yeah. And then I want you to take a pan of metal. And place that metal pan between you and the brick, the city. Vachinota et panecha eleha, and you will have it face between you and the city, as though you are the one fighting the city. Vayetava matzo v'tzalta aleha oti levet Yisrael. Even though you drew a siege, you will lay siege on that brick, and you will fight the brick as though you're preparing a war against Jerusalem. And this is all a sign for Israel that I'm part of the fight too, Hashem says. You're representing me. I want them to understand that I'm joining the fight. I'm joining the fight because I'm also sending destruction to Jerusalem. So that's part one. Part one, the Navi was told, take a brick, draw Jerusalem, draw around it a siege, around the walls, draw soldiers, generals, draw towers that are prepared to overcome the walls, draw sand that's being lined up to overcome the walls, place a metal pan between the city and you will now face it as though you are attacking the city, and that will represent your coming to attack the city. The metal pan will represent like the metal wall outside the city. And so Jerusalem has to be prepared. Siege will come upon Jerusalem.